Welcome to The Relentless View. My name is Perry Moffmer, and I'm your host. And today, we're in part two, evaluating or sharing about the change in the E3, kind of the rhythm of an intentional life is what I refer to it as. And that's, the first was explore. Today, we're going to talk about experimentation. And then the next one, we'll talk about evaluation. And that's the three components to this kind of rhythm, the three activities that we involve ourselves in. So today, we're talking about experiment, and that's the power of doing your own thing. And it's actually taking action without safety of guarantees, because that's what experiments are. And we're exploring without a fixed outcome or destination. And that can actually produce better outcomes for ourselves. So this is the point at which we stop thinking and start doing, but not just any doing, your own doing. Like, you're doing your thing, not a formula somebody else handed you, but this is a raw, real, unfiltered attempt to create your own story. And this is where you gotta have a little bit of courage to do this. This is really the power of doing your own thing. And experimentation, if we experiment, it means we risk being wrong. It means stepping away from certainty and making a move anyway. It is not about perfect execution. It's about daring to make a move that is truly yours, that belongs to you and aligns with what you want. So experimentation is really rooted in a willingness to take action without knowing an outcome. It's about moving from thought to commitment, even when there's doubt that remains. And the leap itself is an affirmation of personal freedom, the willingness to take that step. It's one of my favorite things is, in existentialism, they say that when you stand on the edge of a precipice, like you stand at the edge of a hill, or you stand at the edge of a stairs, or you stand at the edge of a cliff or whatever that is. And you get that queasy feeling. Like when you get that kind of disequilibrium, when you're standing at the edge and looking over something, existentialism says it isn't because you're afraid to fall. It's because you know you have the power to jump. That's why you get queasy, because that is, in existentialism, this is nausea. They refer to it as nauseous. You get nausea from your freedom because you have the freedom to jump. That's why we get nauseous when we're standing on the precipice or a cliff. But that leap that we make metaphorically when we experiment, we move from exploration to experimentation. When we make that leap, that's an affirmation of our personal freedom. And it's accepting. It's also, we have to have a deep acceptance. The world doesn't guarantee success. We experiment because it is the most authentic expression of living. It's choosing to engage despite uncertainty. And that's a powerful thing. And I think, I love the thought of choosing what sets you on fire and then burn for it. If you can choose what sets you on fire and just burn for it, because we have to bracket, and we talked about that in the last episode, we have to bracket the fear of failure. If we're going to experiment authentically, we have got to set aside the fear of looking foolish or making mistakes. It's not, now, this isn't about being reckless. It's about removing the judgment that often keeps us from trying anything new in the first place, because we are our own worst enemy when it comes to this. We will judge ourselves more harshly than anyone else. And I know it feels like almost like death. It feels like, oh my God, if this happens, I would just die of embarrassment. And we say that, we'll just die from embarrassment. Nobody's going to die from embarrassment. Nobody cares. Like, they might get a good laugh out of it. So what? It's a great story. Like, it's funny because oftentimes, and I don't know about you, but I often admire other people who are willing to do that, who are willing to, in the way we talk about it, look stupid, right? It's funny because we admire people who do it, but we won't do it ourselves. We won't want to be the person that's admired because, oh my God, I could never do that. Yeah, you could. That's just an assumption about yourself that you can break if you want to. You can bracket that assumption and you can take action alternatively. the idea here is to immerse yourself so fully in the act of trying that success or failure becomes secondary. Again, think about that. If you immerse yourself so fully in the attempt, in the activity, that success or failure becomes secondary. It ceases to matter because you're so immersed in the activity that whether you succeed or whether you fail doesn't really matter because it's not the point. Remember, the only joy you find at the top of the mountain is the joy you brought with you. Summiting the mountain brings no joy. It doesn't change your life. It doesn't make you any different at all. And you think about different things like in jazz. Improvisation means creating in the moment without knowing if it'll work. The beauty isn't in the perfection, but it's in the courage to play your own notes. Because if it doesn't cost you something, it's not real. It doesn't cost you something, it's not real. You gotta start playing. Make sense of it as you go. So here's some ways we can think about acting without certainty. First of all, as we've kind of touched on, release the pressure to be right. I mean, think about something you've been hesitant to try because you're worried it won't go well. Come on, everybody has this. And it could be for fun. Could be for work, could be with your family. It doesn't matter. Something, if you've got a list of things you've wanted to do, but you're worried about doing it because you don't think it'll work out well. What if you bracketed that fear? How would it feel to do it without caring about the outcome? In fact, we have to start asking ourselves more and more, why do outcomes matter? Do they? Really? I mean, I realize you don't want to go through life not caring about any outcome, but here's the kind of the paradox of, if you want to call it the paradox of outcome thinking, is we're not even in charge of the outcome. John Adams, our second president, was credited with saying the following: duty is ours, the results are God's. And by and large, it's true, whether you have any religious beliefs or spiritual beliefs or not, I don't care who you are, you're not in charge of the outcome. You are in charge of taking action, which is the experimentation part of what we're talking about. You are in charge of that. You are responsible for that, and you need to do it. You need to act. The world is changed by our actions, not our thoughts. At some point, we have to do. We can't just think. And that's why all of the things in this rhythm, this E3 rhythm for intentional living, is about action. It's about exploring, which is an action, an activity, experimenting, which is an action, an activity, and then evaluating. Again, it's an action. We do it because we can't get ready to get ready forever. Like we can't, read a book, watch a video, go buy new clothes, go get the gym membership, go get new shoes, do this, do that, get my meals ready, blah, blah, before I actually do anything that I want to get in better shape. And that, not that it belongs here, but just as an aside, that's how dopamine's released. Like our brain doesn't reward us with dopamine for thinking about doing something. We're never going to think our way to motivation. Dopamine, which is it's a neurochemical. It's the chase neurochemical. It's the pursuit neurochemical. It motivates us to do something, is only released once we do the thing. And if you think about this in ancient times, when people would go hunting, they would actually start hunting, and then the brain would go, oh, this is important. They need to keep going. I'm going to dump some dopamine in here to keep them doing this thing that they're doing. But you don't get any dopamine from thinking about stuff. You don't get dopamine from contemplating doing something. You get dopamine from doing something, from physically moving and doing something. So another way to do this is act without a script. Think about somewhere in your life you're stuck. And usually you're stuck because you're following someone else's formula. And what would it look like if you just abandoned the script and acted on your own instincts? Write your own script. But, and what I mean by that is create it as you go. Just start doing and stop trying to find the right answer. Stop trying to find the template for what you're going to do and just do it. Lisa, my wife, is really good at this because she decided, I don't know, a year and a half ago. I'm not really good with time. It was last year sometime. She always was creative by nature, but she had never really fully dove into painting. So she just started doing it. She bought some canvases. She bought paint. She watched a couple YouTube videos, and off she went, man. She started creating. I would see her in the house, the YouTube video on her phone as she's doing it. Like, she's just working right along with the YouTube video. She wasn't studying it and watching it and preparing and reading this. She just did it. She's like, turn on the YouTube video and started doing it. And now her artwork is everywhere. Like, she's tried all kinds of mediums. She's all over the board. She has no fear at all about doing this. Just did it. And it motivates her to do more because she sees the result. So think about where you're following somebody else's script for yourself. And then figure out how to write your own by acting your way into it. The next thing you have to do is embrace the messiness. When something you're working on feels messy, you know, what is something that you're working on that feels messy or uncertain? Instead of seeing it as a problem, what about treating it as a sign you're doing something real and personal? It should be messy. It's always messy in the middle. And so don't look at it as a problem. If you're uneasy about something or something, you can't figure it out, you can't get it done, maybe that's an indicator you're doing it right. The next one's a big one. Bracket your need for validation. Who are you waiting on? Who are you waiting on to give you permission? What would happen if you didn't wait? What if you just did it your way without needing anyone's approval? Most of the stuff, we don't need somebody's permission. We don't need somebody's validation. What does it even matter? I mean, truly think about that. Think about where you're doing things where you're either needing somebody's validation or permission in your mind to take some kind of action. And then ask yourself the question, do you really need it? Or is it an excuse? Because the next one, sometimes we use that one as a way to get out of the next point, which is you got to be willing to risk failure. I mean, what would you do today if you could guarantee no one would judge you for your failing? Now, write that down and consider, can you try it even if judgment is a possible outcome? Even if somebody's going to judge you for your failure, what does it matter? Is it going to kill you? Is it going to somehow, you're going to end up homeless as a result? Yeah, you might look stupid. Who cares? What was it Dr. Seuss said? The people that mind don't matter and the people that matter don't mind. I think. I might have that backwards. But it was Dr. Seuss. All the great insights and wisdom either comes from Dr. Seuss or Winnie the Pooh. Like, you can live your life by those two things. You can read all the Dr. Seuss books, read Winnie the Pooh. You got everything you need to live a great life. You don't need anything else. Sprinkle a little Seinfeld in Office and you got it all covered. Like, those four things, all the answers are there. Now, the next one's really important. And that is you have to view failure as part of the process, not a part to be avoided, not a part to try to do without, but it's a necessary part of the process because in experimentation, failure is necessary. So instead of seeing failure as the end, what if it's just another note in improvisation? I mean, Thomas Edison, I don't know if he said it or not, but he said that I never failed at making a light bulb. I just figured out 9,999 ways not to do it. Because every time you quote unquote fail, it's just a data point. That didn't work, so try this. So you're actually learning when you fail. When you fail, you're learning of a way that it didn't work, so now you can move on to the next thing. Seth Godin, and I know he's credited with saying this, is he said, you know, he writes a ton of books, and he goes, I've written a lot of bad books, but writing all those bad books enabled me to write some good books too. That's awesome. Like, who's going to ever master something right away and do only great things with whatever they're doing? I've done this. And I just realized I stopped listing the episodes, but this will be episode 77. And I got news for you. I have some really bad podcast episodes. I've only done 77. Like, there's some bad ones going on. And a lot of those are when I first started out. I mean, I can't even bear to listen to some of them. They're horrible. Right? I mean, one of the best things I ever did is decided to go to 20 minutes because I got some feedbacks. Like, 20 minutes might be better because I would talk for 45 minutes. Who wants to hear somebody drone on for 45 minutes about anything? But it's all part of the process. If I didn't do those bad ones, I can never do any good ones. I'm not even know if this one's one of the good ones, but I have an opportunity to keep doing it. And they're going to be bad. They're going to be good. They're going to be. It's part of the process. And then, you know, finally, just commit to one bold move. Think of one bold experiment that reflects who you are, not who others expect you to be. And how can you take one small step towards that today? Step into who you are. Nobody knows better than you who you are. But we let all the noise in, and we let society start telling us who we are and who we should be and who we must be. And then we lose ourselves at some point. And you know, I actually think this is why we have so much anxiety in our society. Because deep down inside, we know we're living a life that isn't ours. One we didn't create for ourselves. One that doesn't reflect our values. You can take that back. You can figure that out today. You can take a step towards that today. It's nothing to fix. We don't need to be fixed. You just need to get realigned with what matters to you. You need to get back into living that intentional life. That's what this rhythm is supposed to do. This E3 rhythm is supposed to do. It's supposed to enable you to get back to living an intentional life because you're always exploring and experimenting and evaluating for yourself against your own wishes. Like, you're identifying what you want all the time in this process. So you're always staying aligned with who you are, so you can find that peace and that freedom regardless of what's going on in your life. Because if we're acting in accordance with those things for ourselves, we'll very rarely be out of alignment. And I did. I allowed myself to do that for over a year. I was completely out of alignment and frustrated and frozen. And it just didn't fix itself. I took different actions, and that thawed me out. That broke me free from that ice. But we have to let our passion shape us, and scare us, and then scar us and save us. That's what we have to do, because it will shape you and scar you, but it'll also save you. So just do one thing this week that feels risky, but true to who you are. Don't plan every detail, just do it. Feel the discomfort and do it anyway. Then at the end of the week, write down how it felt to take that step. Was it messy? Was it awkward? Did it turn out great? No matter what, that means it was real. If it was messy and awkward, it's good. Reflect on what you learned from doing it your way. Now, when you feel resistance, pause, bracket that fear, take that out, and tell yourself, I'm setting aside the need to succeed. I'm choosing to act regardless. Just have that mantra. I'm setting aside the need to succeed. I'm setting aside the need to succeed, and I'm choosing to act regardless. My high school basketball coach, Tom Jones, he used to, and it stuck with me from the time Tom was my basketball coach for 2 years. So I'd have been 17 and 18 years old. And to this day, it echoes in my head at halftime. If things weren't going well, Tom would say in a rather intense manner, if we're going to lose, we're going to lose my way. And I think that really kind of formed my thought process for living my life, because I think that's what we all should do. If we're going to lose, you know, I'll go down with the ship as long as I know I made the decisions. I have no problem at all going down as long as I'm going down being true to who I am. I am certainly not happy to go down being someone I'm not and knowing full well that I'm doing it. So I'll leave you with this. Experimentation is not about getting it right. It's about daring to create your own path, even when the outcome or the path is unclear. It's about choosing action over perfection and authenticity over imitation. You cannot borrow someone else's experiment and expect it to fit in your life. You have to make your own mistakes and then learn from your own successes. So stay relentless, stay curious, keep experimenting. Your story is still unfolding, so make sure it's yours. Talk to you soon.